what has been proven already as what models. So sort of what I'm talking about is a hybrid that allows the one function of doing adequate oversight, the other function of really meaningful community relations, and that's critical. That's the single most important function. And you can do them both and maintain the confidentiality by having one arm that's subordinate to the main body. The main body becomes responsible for the outreach. But you know what the single biggest difficulty is? And LA is the point in question. And for those of you who don't know, the last time they chose an inspector general, I was the runner-up for the position.
And again, we're hearing Bob Aronson, the paid expert from Palo Alto, who actually was paid to do pretty much lots of nothing because they weren't holding any of these meetings for the last 4 months. He was supposed to be the man who helped out this process at the meetings, which Sugar insisted on not having for 4 months, it seemed to be, because he didn't want the public involved. Now, he may have had some other reasons, but he never gave them to us. He just maintained this tight-lipped, closed-mouthed policy. When I asked him in early May, when are you going to have a meeting, he said, soon. Now, that meant July 12th. Early May to July 12th is not quite... It's 2 months. It's not soon. But it's an example of the twisting of the public dialogue and the misinforming of the community. And again, this delay-distract approach, which this council has been so willing to use, rather than deal with real critics, sit down with them, honestly discuss the difficulties they're facing. You don't get any of that from these people, unfortunately. This particular meeting, I'm going to continue to play it, and we are running into our last half hour here, and it looks like we're not going to be getting the call from San Jose that we'd hoped for, but that hopefully will be at our next edition of this show. And you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, incidentally, in case we haven't told you, 96.3 FM, and this is Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides. I'm your host, Bathrobes Pierre Robert Norris, and we do a twice-weekly show. The next one is 6 to 8 on Thursday in the evening. Current show, 11 to 1:30, and that happens every Sunday. You're, of course, listening to that show. Today is July 30th, in case you haven't got your calendar with you. The CPRB and the question of police, community control of police, is going to be an issue in the next election, a big issue, I believe. And I hope that, I know Steve Argue is running on a campaign that's really concerned about this issue, and I hope a number of other candidates have the courage to bring it up. But if they don't, I can assure you that some of us in the community will be bringing it up, no matter how many people want to keep the issue quiet. Notice that the CPRB members are talking, and Bob Aronson, the attorney, is talking about the importance of community relations. I didn't think we hired a Citizens Police Review Board, put one together, I should say, appointed one and hired staff in order to provide more PR for the police department. But, of course, that's what we did. It's obviously not a legitimate purpose, but to have people claim it's a legitimate purpose is amazing. To have them claim that is as important a function as police review, a review of complaints, oversight of misconduct by the police department, is ridiculous. I mean, it shows you how deeply the police have their fangs, their claws, their influence into this whole process, and how much the city council is running scared on the issue. It made me reevaluate Bob Aronson, who I at first had some hope for, because he took a position in opposition to our city attorney. You know, the Beach Canfield Company can do nothing wrong. John Barisone, Mr. Seaside Company sellout himself, he took up a different position than Barisone. Barisone has been routinely giving these conservative opinions that favor the police department, that limit the public's access, for example, to the independent investigation of events around May 22nd. The only independent investigation the Citizens Police Review Board has ever done has now been stamped classified from birth. But Barisone was challenged in his opinion by Bob Aronson, saying, no, Mayor Sugar can't hold closed meetings here. He has to hold them openly. And that seemed to be a very good thing. But now we hear from him that he somehow feels that PR is a function of a police review board. And I hear also now he's a contender for the Inspector General of Los Angeles, this position that would have overseen the mess in Los Angeles. And it makes me think, again, you're dealing with a former 60s radical person who is abandoned, because he claims to be a big 60s radical or concerned about that stuff, has abandoned that particular position for a highly paid position in the bureaucracies of the state, or that are nominally talking about reforming the police, but actually covering for their butts. I left him a phone message and asked him to get back to me. He has been trying to return phone calls to me in the past, but since my last phone call where I said, I really am disappointed to hear you've been running for this office, and I think your position here shows that you are no friend of real police accountability, he has not called me back. So, hey, have I alienated another person in the bureaucracy? We'll just have to see. Let's hear a little more of this tape.
A situation like this is personality driven. You get people with the right mindset on a board, and it's possible to work miracles. It really is. And you get the right sort of inspector general. You get people who are prepared to be rubber stamps, and we've seen that in different periods with the LA Police Commission. And it gets rendered meaningless. But that's true of any form of government.
Forgive me for standing, the chasm that you perceive...
Mayor Sugar speaks.
...and the CPRP, can you elaborate on that?
Well, I think the largest part of the chasm is from either a misunderstanding or not understanding about the board's role. I think it's a comment that Arnie makes in the report. It's the impression that I've gotten. I think the majority of the public don't really have a clear sense of what the board's role is or what the board can do. And that is part of the outreach issue for me, that there ought to be a way that the public becomes aware that it's the community's board. And this is an opportunity. There's a way that the board is supposed to be the representatives of the community to the police department. Because the way I frame it, and the way I always frame it, the badges and guns that the police department carry are on loan to them. They belong to the community. It's the power of the community that is on loan to them, that's vested in them. And having the community have an entrance to be able to have an impact on the policies, the procedures, what the community wants from its police department. Because in truth, there are a lot of different models for policing. And that, to me, is the nature of that chasm, apart from the fact that for people who have...
Let me just pin you down.
Go ahead.
How does it manifest itself? I mean, do you see manifesting itself just as public apathy towards the CPRP process or public antipathy to the CPRP? I mean, is it...
I think that's a big part of it. I think the way I would express it is the following. The public doesn't have a desire... The broad public doesn't have a desire to interact with the board or come to meetings, leaving people like Dan with nothing, feeling like there's nothing useful to do. What I suspect Dan feels like he's doing basically is reviewing IA files and passing judgment on them, and I don't think that was probably his expectation of what he'd be doing as a member of the board. And so, really, in order for the board to feel more successful for Dan, there's got to be the public coming on specific issues, specific interaction issues. So, for example, issues like, you know, having all the patrol cars have videotape capability. That's one small thing. But in order to do that, it requires educating the public, because I think the public in general tends to be apathetic. If city government feels like it's working well, that's...
I think, could you...
just real quick on it.
That's what I'm trying to get lined.
Speaking of, does exist. There's a lot of mistrust between the community and the police force. The police department has been successful.
This is Tony Guerrero speaking. Michael Hernandez is appointee who's notoriously pro-police, and he's a member of the Citizens Police Review Board.
In a limited sense, with their outreach in the community, with the community policing efforts, and I applaud them for that, especially in the Beach Bats, Lower Ocean community. this chasm that Bob is talking about is not a failure of the ordinance, it's a failure of the board. The board has not done enough to for outreach into the community. Again, it's not a failure of the ordinance, it's a failure of the board itself.
No, I wanted to just go back and...
It's Council Member Byers, the key person on the City Council, has kept
the
board
weak. And the reason review is in the name of it is because that is all it is, in my opinion. It is to review IA complaints. And if we look at the purpose of it, you know, the second page of the of what it is, it's called a review board. The whole purpose of it, to enhance understanding of the complaint process, to add a citizen perspective to the complaints, to contribute to a timely citizen review of complaints. It's just, now that's what we have. To me, that's all we have. We don't have a police commission. We don't do outreach. We want people to know that if they have a complaint, then we need to do outreach to be sure those people know about the complaint process. But to me, that is what we have. Now, I think what we're doing is talking about maybe something else. But I guess the comments I'm hearing is probably out of frustration, but I think we ought to recognize, I think the review board over these years has met the purpose and objective of what we designed. Good or bad, whether we designed it right or we didn't design it right. We did get in a little one time a phrase in there about policy or somewhere in there that they could make comments on policy, but it only had to come out of a complaint, I think it was.
And Byers is actually contradicting herself on an important issue as to whether the Citizens Police Review Board could make comments on policy independently of complaints. She actually spoke up at a Citizens Police Review Board hearing after the matter became a matter of some controversy around issues of driving while black. And there were hearings held on this. I believe it was driving while black. It may have been another issue. But it wasn't an issue that came specifically out of a complaint. It was an issue of policy generally. And she asserted that she was part of the process that developed the Citizens Police Review Board, and she was in the early 90s, and that they had the right to make policy statements. So here she is changing her position, interestingly enough, but she is also making the interesting statement that the Citizens Police Review Board has been meeting its obligations and concerns. That is to say, by doing nothing, by not holding any public hearings, by not using its powers, by simply peeking over the shoulders of the police and essentially sustaining the police department's opinion, it's been doing its job. Well, as a PR agency, perhaps, but not as independent citizen review.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Yeah, I just want to make a correction. The issue was the sting operations for prostitution, and a group of hookers went down to the Citizens Police Review Board and were complaining about the abusiveness of that process, and they said they couldn't do anything because there wasn't a complaint against an individual officer, and then they kind of twiddled their thumbs and said they didn't know what to do, and that triggered a whole 4 or 5 month process where finally Catherine Byers came down and said, yes, we did write in that you can make a judgment on process or policy of the police department. But then the Citizens Police Review Board didn't do anything about that either.
You know, I remember that, Becky, and I you're quite right that that was one focal point, but that was in the previous Citizens Police Review Board. I think that was 97, 98. And I know that more recently, this fall, there was a similar controversy. And I think it may have been driving while brown or black. It may have been another thing. Byers also attended the meeting. I guess there was more controversy. It was this last fall, a year ago. And so she repeated her comments that there was the power to do policy statements. And yet now you can hear her stating that it's only if it comes out of a complaint, which is, of course, a reversal of her previous position, which in a way is kind of, I think, consistent, although, of course...
Well, it might be consistent. I mean, the sex workers did come, and they were complaining about the policy of basically an entrapment policy for...
No, I mean, it's not consistent there. It's consistent with her complete reversal on other issues. But actually now she's, of course, misstating the facts, because she did, I think you are quite right, she did state that it didn't have to come out of a complaint. Now she's stating it does. But the important thing is, again, you see the real political stuff going on here, that it is her belief that the police department, and we've seen her act this way when police department appropriations comes up and police department policies, whether it's closing the water, the riverfront at dusk to people walking up and down, whether it's closing the parks, whether it's closing off... the entire city after 11 o'clock for young people under the age of 16, she favors all these measures that Chief Belcher has, whether it be shoulder tap, whether it be, huge cost overruns for the police department, without, any kind of questions. It's just amazing. She's just the police department rubber stamp. At least that's my analysis.
Yeah, she's voted on all of those issues that you've mentioned without raising any and including the mobile police office, too, that they wanted. Belcher wanted it. She voted for it.
Well, thank you. I hope you're able to get a hold of Arnie Leff. We'd love to have him on part of this show.
Yeah, I was able to get a hold of him, and hopefully he's listening in as we speak.
Sounds good. Thank you.
And we're going into the last 20 minutes of the show. We will reserve an opportunity for Arnie to respond. And, of course, if he hasn't got a chance on this show, he can certainly respond between 6 and 8 on Thursday or at a future show that's going to be available to him and to other members of the public who have other opinions on the issues of police department reform, because that's what I'm really looking at. I'm not looking at how you can tweak the Citizens Police Review Board to make it get past Catherine Byers or, who knows, Keith Sugar's nervous concerns about what the public will accept and won't accept. Let's hear some more of this CPRB meeting, and we're actually coming up on the end of the hour, so we may have to cut this short, but let's do as much as we can.
I know that is the issue, and I want to talk to that issue. I absolutely want to talk to that issue. That issue, that wording was after about 10 months of struggling to get that word in there, and it was a knockdown, drag out, and we got one vote.
241090 reports, subparagraph A.
09 what?
Right.
090.
Right, okay.
Subparagraph A.
Right, okay. Exactly. And whether the wording is right, but I know what the intent was because I was very much the author of this ordinance, and I would say that in itself took us months and months and months, and it wasn't unanimous to have it in there. It was a very hot topic.
And what was the intent? What is the intent of this?
The intent was when you got a complaint and you saw something directly related to a complaint only, you could make suggestions on what appeared to be policy that was violated or policy that was complained. It wasn't just the public coming and standing up and saying all these things about the police or how things should be. Now, I don't know whether I tried to pay attention, but that was in there, and it was to give some wiggle room, so you didn't just review a complaint and go up or down on it or exonerate it, all those things. It did give just a little bit something else. So it's very narrow. This ordinance is just a little ordinance. It wasn't meant to be anything beyond that, and I want to say right or wrong, or whether we like it or we don't like it anymore, I just wanted to give that perspective to it. So I don't think you should beat yourself up how awful it's been. I think you've met what we wrote. I've felt it's been unfortunate that there hasn't been more of a partnership with the police. I think this is not a popular ordinance. I always felt that it would make our department look good to get on the bandwagon. It only can make you look good if you put out something to the public and get the public involved. I think I think it's really important, anything we do to change something or add it or write a new one, somehow that's got to happen, otherwise forget it. I mean, it would just there's just not enough credibility there, and I think that's partly about who attends and who doesn't attend and the level we've given it, and I think partly that responsibility is with the council as well, clearly, as we move forward. So, anyway, if people, I guess, on the different things you put in here, Gary, and five things.
That's Catherine Byers, the shadow mayor of Santa Cruz, speaking. She's had the power in the last 2 years to make any and all changes she's wanted in the Citizens Police Review Board. She's had the majority on the city council. She has been the one who, in essence, backed up Barisone's proposal that his decision that the independent investigation, the $10,000 independent investigation of last May 22, 1999 events, where the police went hog wild instead of engaging in responsible crowd control and resulted in one man's going to jail for 7 months, Steve Argue, that her own decision to keep that report confidential, along with a lot of other decisions about the CPRB, has in essence cut off the testicles of the CPRB or sliced out the ovaries of the CPRB for 2 years. And, of course, it is her responsibility, and she has to be held accountable for it. But one would think that people on the city council, whether they are have four votes or not, would speak up for issues strongly and clearly. That's something that they have not done regularly. And similarly, on the Citizens Police Review Board, I have used to hold regular meetings with Chair Arnie Leff to talk about getting things on the agenda, and they were endlessly postponed. Driving while brown and black went down after a kind of a hastily put together hearing. No requirements were laid on the police chief at all that there be records kept as to stops for class and race, as other jurisdictions have tried to do, and as was vetoed at the state level by a police-friendly governor, Davis. We've had a whole series of circumstances around this, which around issues we're trying to get on the board on. Pepper spray. We've tried to get. Took us many months to get anything going on the issue of the chief's special process for dealing with inquiries and how that should be done. Although I suppose you could say after 16 months, we got finally the police chief released to the board some old inquiries to look at. The public, of course, were not allowed to see them. There's top secret stuff, and then we have to take the board's. Opinion. Again, the behind-closed-doors approach, the trust-me approach to the whole issue. Instead of Arnie Leff advocating strongly and clearly and publicly, and that's the most important word, for there to be a fair investigation, the first independent investigation ever around the May 22nd event, we have him making the argument perhaps behind closed doors to city council, but not doing so in a public way. We have an incoming call.
Hi, you're on the air on Free Radio.
Mr. Roberts.
Sir.
Yeah, this is Martin Bryant. I'm making a run for city council this year, November 7th.
No, you're making a run for city council, and I'm making a run from city council.
Yeah.
Well, listen, have you been listening to the show?
Yeah, I've caught part of it.
We're kind of reaching the end of the show, and we're kind of in the middle of police review. Is there anything in particular you want to talk about on that subject?
There's so many issues.
Can you turn down your radio, Martin? Sorry, I think we're getting some feedback there.
Okay, it should be pretty much off.
Okay.
I will be calling in here, your show, here within the next couple of weeks or month, and probably make a few statements on some key issues I think we need to address.
Uh-huh.
And if we're willing to work on some of the opportunities we have coming our way, I think we could resolve mm-hmm. a few main
Well,
issues.
Do you like the police department the way it's presently constituted? Are they being fair to the citizenry? Do you have any concerns about... You know, about them generally.
I think there's problems on both sides. I support the police department 100%, only if they conduct themselves within the law.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And what's your experience been on that in that matter?
Well, I've had my run-ins with them, but then again, maybe some of it I brought upon myself. I know they've been somewhat abusive, mm-hmm. but there again, I mean, we have to obey the rule of law, and that works on both sides.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that they are properly accountable to the citizenry, or do you think that they need some kind of really new process in which, if they are engaging in brutality or inappropriate behavior, they're actually called to public account?
Yeah, I think everybody needs to be accountable for their actions.
Mm-hmm.
It's something we could look at.
Okay, well, I hope you can come up with specific proposals, because that's what we're looking for, and you're, of course, invited to come, as is anyone in the public, to our meeting on community control of police at 9:15 on Tuesday at Baker Square in the morning.
Okay, great.
Hey, glad to hear you on the air. Let's have you for a longer period of time. Please call in between 6 and 8 on Thursday, or next Sunday between 11 and 1:30. We can actually give you some more time.
Okay, great.
Thanks,
Mark. Your work for the community.
I appreciate your bringing yourself forward for discussion with the community.
Okay, no problem.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
An actual city council candidate. Well, that's good news. Thank you, Martin, for calling in. We were talking to one of the 14 declared council candidates, Martin Bryant. If you want to talk to him at home, his phone number is 423-1151. I don't think I'm giving away any secrets. That number is, in fact, registered at the city clerk's office, along with the numbers of the other candidates: Emily Riley, Ed Porter, Dick DeBrava, Scott Bugenthal, David Silva, Nina Ruiz, Peter Cook, Stephen Argue, Arnie Leff, Jacob Olthoff, Ollie Aldoma, and Tony Madrigal. And that's probably only the beginning. We got another, 3 weeks at least before the, or at least 2 weeks before the council filing dates close. Continuing with the Citizens Police Review Board City Council chat-a-thon that happened on July 12th, supposedly around ordinance changes. Most of us don't think it's going to go anywhere whatsoever. I was criticizing Chair Arnie Leff, and he knows when I'm criticizing him. He's welcome to call in and talk, and I realize not much time left in the hour still. You know, he'll be given some time to talk now and later. I've been particularly concerned with, after we got this classified report, which the Citizens Police Review Board's independent investigator refused to subpoena any witnesses for in terms of police officers. No witnesses were subpoenaed from the police department. And I suppose that could have resulted in a big court fight and a big public battle, but at least it would have been clear what's going on here. Instead, delaying it, of course, denies justice to the people involved. It denies justice to the community, who would be able to see problems in the police department. And the primary problem is their lack of accountability. I mean, we see it again and again. And here in this whole process, they don't want to be held accountable for what they do. Only within their own very rarefied, militarized structure that is insulated from the community, which the city manager and the police chief have all the power, and even the city council is refusing to rock the boat. That is the situation for the Santa Cruz Police Department. And it's one which the whole point of the Citizens Police Review Board was to open up some air into, to allow some real citizen input into, real citizen input, not how much PR can we provide and how much protective cover can we provide for the police chief and the police department. So, the final straw that broke my back with Arnie Leff, there are plenty of them, actually, but the one that really broke my back recently was when he, and I have to presume it was him because he's the chair of that board, and I didn't hear it wasn't him, and he certainly knew it was going on, didn't speak out against it, conveyed the report of the independent investigator not to the community, which I admittedly would have been a violation of the city attorney's opinion on this subject. Thank you very much. Let's all follow the city attorney in all things. All hail John Barisoni. No, he didn't send this report to the community. He sent it to the police department. Now, this was before the police department had released its own report, its internal affairs report, on what happened on May 22nd. This gives them a chance to rewrite their report, to rough out any of the problems involved, to smooth out any contradictions. This, in essence, destroys the opportunity of the Citizens Police Review Board to have any independent review of what the Internal Affairs Department says its police officers are doing and not doing. This is a disgrace. This is outrageous. Now, I invite him here publicly on the air to describe, perhaps I'm misunderstanding what happened. Perhaps he didn't forward this report to the Internal Affairs Department for their analysis before the community could see it, and before, most important, the Citizens Police Review Board could say, give us your report, police department, first, so we can compare it with what our independent person says, and we'll see what's going on here. No, instead, we'll help you out. We'll send you her report first. We'll send Diane Christensen's independent report to you, so there won't be any nagging problems that the public will notice contradictions here, or that, since the public won't be able to notice anything, since it'll be under wraps, maybe one of our board members would notice contradictions. That whole possibility is removed. Independent review is destroyed. And here's a man who's going to be running for city council. I don't understand it. I would like it explained to me over the air. I would like it explained to me on paper. I don't want to hear that this is a confidential matter that can't be discussed. This is a public policy issue that we have to discuss. Now, as I'm hoping to have a meeting with Arnie Leff, we have a scheduled meeting for noon on Tuesday, thereabouts. It's going to be, hopefully, I'm going to bring these issues to him. I'm hopeful that Arnie Leff, well, I've got to be candid, I don't know how hopeful I am. There's always a chance that Arnie Leff, the city council candidate, is going to be different than Arnie Leff, the CPRB chair, who is, to some extent, feels he has to respond to the city council direction, he has to respond to the confidentiality requirements of the office of the CPRB, who worries about rounding up votes on the CPRB, and so it's a political kind of deal. That is indeed an issue to be discussed. But I want to see how much of a difference there's going to be from Arnie's own perspective as to how he's going to act on city council as compared with how he has acted on the Citizens Police Review Board, because the record is not good. It is true that Arnie Leff has done some good things on the Citizens Police Review Board, things I've agreed with, but the trouble is when you look at the whole ball of wax, they don't really amount to much for a pretty long period of time. And the whole direction is discouraging, because for there to be anything real happening, I think whether it's on the city council or the Citizens Police Review Board, the people involved have to be publicly clear to the community and educate them. And that is something that has not happened from the Citizens Police Review Board. Perhaps because Arnie has a constrained sense of what the role of the CPRB is, perhaps because he's felt he can work it out behind closed doors, perhaps because he feels that it would be irrelevant to take these kinds, make kind of public statements that would antagonize some members of the city council, antagonize some parts of the police department. But I'm afraid what we need are people who are willing to take that chance when it's necessary. That's what we need, both on the city council and on the Citizens Police Review Board. And I guess what I want to hear from the chair of the Citizens Police Review Board is whether council candidate Leff is going to be significantly different than Citizens Police Review Board chair Leff. Because if not, I don't think we want this man in either position. And I say this without any personal hostility. Arnie is a very sweet guy. He takes time out to talk to people if and when you can find him. It hasn't happened much in the last 6 months, but it happened after the meeting of the CPRB with the city council. He took some time to talk. He has a good record of fighting for the rights of AIDS patients for medical marijuana early on when it wasn't the popular and proper thing to do. He's a man who's taken positions in that regard that I think are truly commendable. But a man has to be held accountable who's the head of the Citizens Police Review Board and who then offers himself for city council. And that is the issue we now face. The issue we also face is the end of my program, which is, of course, an even more serious issue because I've got plenty I want to get on with and no time to do it. That's a major bummer here. So I'm going to, however, be a good boy and do what I promised to that group of little red henskies who are red as can be and are coming on shortly. Unfortunately, you're not going to be hearing them in person. You're going to be hearing their taped voices. Actually, you're not even going to be hearing their taped voices because I have not been able to find their loop deck. I'm going to be playing a Resist Locally tape, a loop tape, which hopefully will be useful and helpful and interesting. And I want you to return to get in touch with our show again on Thursday at 6 o'clock. We'll be talking about the outcome of the next two city council business person buffer buyers, the meetings that she insists on throwing to bring all those poor, misunderstood business people into the fold before proposing a 2% raise in the tax, the TOT tax, for a homeless shelter. This is the woman who killed the sleeping van and is now saying she won't vote to put this issue on the ballot without extensive business backing. I mean, we've really had enough of her. There's no question about that. The question is, what about these other three clowns who are staying on the city council, Sugar, Fitzmaurice, and Crone? You've got to look at their record, their willingness to stand up for issues. Do they have any center? Is there any there That's what we have to ask ourselves. And I guess I've really answered that question for myself already. The answer is no. But you have to ask that question yourselves, answer that question, and hopefully in future shows you can contribute to that dialogue. I'm going to go out on the downtown track of Greedo Serpentino, assuming I can work the CD. This is a group that you can get their CD at 408-860-4268, and they want to use the arts as a catalyst for social change and liberation of El Raza through Aztlan, and we're going to be listening to them now. Tune in again next week for another edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides at this 11 o'clock on Sunday, and tune in midweek on Thursday at 6 o'clock. And come to the Roar meetings at 2:30 on Saturdays and 4 o'clock on Wednesdays at San Lorenzo Park for Restore Our American Rights. And otherwise, I'll see you at City Council.
FM.
Ah, who did that?
Did you do that? I didn't do that. Put your headphones on. Don't open it. Oh. Keep those headphones on your ears.
Causes death.
Brothers and sisters, boys and girls, don't ever, ever, if you're on a pirate radio station, don't do that.